Well, we'll turn again this morning in the Lord's Word to the book of Job and the 23rd chapter, Job chapter 23, and we'll still our hearts for a moment and commit the preaching of the Word now to the Lord. Lord, we thank You that we can truly sing, 'Tis old, yet ever new. We can go to passages of Scripture that we have read many times, and we can see something fresh to bless and nourish the soul. We thank You that we can sing, 'Tis ever true. For although men today would try and tell us that the Word of God is not relevant or it must be read in the context of the culture of the times, we thank You, Lord, that Thy Word is true. Sanctify them by Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. We pray that from the pages now the truth would shine, like the day star would shine in our hearts, and we would be fed on the finest of the wheat. Hear and answer prayer. Glorify Thy Son, in Jesus' name. Amen. My text this morning is found at the end of verse 12. We'll really examine verse 11 and 12 together, but my text can be found to summarize the message at the end of verse 12 of Job chapter 23. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Let me read that again. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. And I want to preach to you this morning on the title, Job's Esteem. Or value of God's Word. Job's esteem or value of God's Word. Now, in making this statement, Job was responding and answering an accusation which Eliphaz had made against him. If you know the book of Job, and it's a difficult book. It's a challenging book. It's written in a poetical style. And sometimes it's hard to follow. But the general tenor of this book is that Job's sufferings are set forth. His trial from God. But then he enters into a lengthy discussion or debate, arguments with three friends or three comforters. They were miserable comforters. Eliphaz was one of them. And rather than really comforting Job, they accused Job. Accused him of hypocrisy. Told him that his sufferings were because of his sin and that God was punishing him and he needed to repent and nothing could have been further from the truth. And in chapter 22, and if you look at the verse 22, Eliphaz the Temanite has been speaking to Job and he makes this allegation. He says, "Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth and lay up his words in thy heart." There's an exhortation there and there is really an allegation behind it. He's saying that Job has neglected God's word. He needs to receive it. He needs to receive the law of the Lord from the mouth of the Lord and lay it up within his heart and live it out within his life. And that's Eliphaz's allegation. Job, as we know, did not take the allegations or accusations lying down. He answered them. In chapter 23, he responds to Eliphaz. Then Job answered and said, and the chapter contains his response to all that Eliphaz says, but verse 11 and 12 seem to be his response to that specific allegation that he needed to take the word of God to heart, to lay it up in his life, because he hadn't been doing so. And so Job says in verse 11, "My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips." And then he concludes this part of his speech with these words, the words of our text, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Eliphaz, your accusation is wrong. I do receive his word, and in fact, I do more than receive it. I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Do you see that word esteemed? It's an interesting word. It literally means to lay up or to hide, as one would lay up treasure. And if you have a treasure, you'll lay it up. You'll want to keep it safe. You'll take great care with it. You'll store it up in a safe place. And Job saying that, my, he values, he esteems God's word as a very precious thing. In Psalm 119, the psalmist gave the same sort of idea, or he put forth the same sort of idea in verse 72. He said, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." And the man that has thousands of gold or silver, he's going to lay it up. He's going to take good care of it. He's going to make sure it's safe. He's going to value it. He's going to treat it as a precious and a rare and a valuable thing. He's going to make sure that men don't break through and steal it away from him. He's going to treat it with great care and respect, great caution. And the psalmist saying, the law of thy mouth, the law of God, the word of God, it's better unto me than thousands of silver and gold. You know, if we don't have too much of this world's goods, if we don't have much silver or gold to lay up with something even better, this book is better to us, and it's better for us than thousands of silver and gold. Yes, there's the thought of treating God's word as a very precious thing, but Job goes a little further, and he says he esteems it, he values it, he lays it up as one would lay up a treasure, but he says he esteems it more than his necessary food. That takes it to another level. You see, you can get by, and I can get by in life without thousands of gold and silver. You and I can get by without many things in life. Oh, thousands of gold and silver will make our lives more comfortable. But we can get by without it, but we can't get by without our necessary food. And you notice he's saying, and he uses the phrase as necessary food. See, there's certain foods that you and I can do without. Now give that a pat. We can do without the cream buns. We can do without the desserts. We can do without, as Spurgeon spoke about, the dainties, the delicacies. But that's not what Job had in mind. He's speaking about his necessary food, our daily bread, if we want to bring it into Northern Irish context, the spuds, the veg, the meat, the very basic food stuff. And if we go without food, we'll weaken. Eventually we would perish. We cannot do without it. And Job's saying that he esteems, he values the Word of God more than is necessary food. That means it's more important than life itself, physical life. I wonder today, can we place and put forth the challenge? And I have to challenge my own heart and my own life, my own ministry. I trust you will challenge your soul and the Lord will challenge you. Is that how you view the Word of God? Is it the very precious thing, more than thousands of silver and gold? More, you esteem it more than your very necessary food? We don't often deprive ourselves of a meal. Sometimes we've maybe fasted and prayed. Sometimes because of busyness in life, we've had to skip a meal. But we don't go without a meal very often. And yet I wonder, how many days do we go without feeding upon the Word of God? The world may neglect the Word, but as believers in Christ, let's not neglect it to socialize. Let's not neglect it to dine. Let's not neglect it for earthly pursuits and pastimes. May we get back to the place where the Bible is the most important thing in our lives. He esteemed it more than his necessary food. And in these verses, I believe there are three simple reasons why Job esteemed the Word of God so highly and he valued it so greatly. And I just want to mention those this morning in the time that remains. First of all, he esteemed the Word of God so highly because of its divine origin. There are two phrases there in verse 11 and 12 that are worth noting. In fact, they're both in verse 12. Neither have I gone back, now notice this, from the commandment of his lips. The commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth. Do you notice those two phrases? It's his lips and his mouth. The word that emanates from them. That's God's commands, God's words, God's laws, God's promises. All that emanates from his mouth. That's what Job's talking about. That's what he esteems so highly. And he's speaking about the Word of God. Let me remind you, point out to you that Job did not have a Bible like you and I have, a book containing the Word of God that you and I have. The written Word of God commenced with Moses. He's the author, the human author of Genesis to Deuteronomy. And prior to the days of Moses, from Noah to Moses, and from Adam to Moses, the Lord communicated with man directly. We're told this in the New Testament in Hebrews 1 verse 1. God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. The saints of God in that time, those times before Moses, they were spoken to God by the prophets. God revealed His Word to men who were eminently marked and proven in society to be prophets of the Lord, to foretell and forthtell the Word of God, and that's how God communicated His truth. Adam was a prophet. Enoch was a prophet. Noah was a prophet. God communicated to these men directly. They communicated to the church or to believers in that day and generation. And Job, of course, predated Moses. We're not sure exactly. Commentators differ. Some think he may even have been pre-flood. Others think he was more around the time of Abraham. We can't say exactly when Job lived. Can't be dogmatic on that. But he predated Moses, and therefore the Lord spoke to him directly. He was, I believe Job was indeed a prophet. He was one that God communicated directly to. And therefore, when the Lord spoke, Job acknowledged that it was the words of his mouth and the law from his lips. And because it came from God, who is the creator of all, that means he is all power. Because it comes from God, who is the sustainer of all, that means he is all knowledge. Because it came from God, who is the judge of all, that means he is all authority. Job highly valued God's word. He didn't dismiss it. Men can dismiss earthly writers, earthly commentators, earthly influencers is the new name for them. You can dismiss human authors, commentators, influencers, and it won't make a jot of difference to you. You can ignore certain books and papers and reports and opinions, and it may never affect you. But you cannot and you should not ignore or dismiss or neglect the Word of the Lord. And let me say to you that in these days in which we live, God has spoken unto us. And He has spoken unto us through His Word. That little verse that Paul spoke to Timothy. We often teach the children, and we should learn it ourselves and teach the children. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the verse 16. How this ties in with Job's estimate of God's Word. It says, all Scripture, all the holy writings, all of the written revelation from Genesis to Malachi, Matthew to Revelation, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You see the word inspiration? It's the Greek word. In fact, it's the phrase inspiration of God. It's the Greek phrase, but it's one word in the Greek. It's theopneustia. Theo is the word for God. And that word means God breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is God breathed. And do you see the connection with our text? Job speaks about the commandment of his lips, the words of his mouth, all that emanates from his mouth. While in Job's day it was communicated directly, yet in our day, this book is the God-breathed Word. As you breathe out, your breath is part of you. It emanates from you. And this book is the God-breathed Word. holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Spirit. The Lord spoke. They wrote it down. And we have it before us contained within the Bible. And because this book, all Scripture, is breathed from God, it comes from His lips, His mouth. It contains laws. It contains promises. It contains instruction. Put it to you, we should highly esteem it. This is not the opinion of a man. This is not the knowledge of some finite mortal being. It is the Word of the living, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-authoritative God. And therefore what He said, and what He says, we should highly esteem. We should count as more important than our necessary food, and more important and more valuable than thousands of silver and gold. I want you to look back at our text again. I want you to see the second thing, the second reason why Job esteemed God's word so highly. Not only its divine origin, but its spiritual nourishment. I'm picking up again on that little phrase, more. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. It is no coincidence that Job states the Word of God is more important than his necessary food. And I've already highlighted that necessary food, he's speaking about our basic foodstuffs that keep us alive, that sustain and strengthen the body. Not sure what the staple diet was in Job's day. I'm sure a little research we could find out. But we're speaking about that basic foodstuff that sustains and strengthens our physical frame. And you take that away from the body. You deprive the body of that basic food stuffs. Then very soon, the body will weaken, will experience pain, will begin to break down. It won't be able to function as it ought to. It won't be as strong as it ought to be or could be. And when we continue to deprive ourselves of that basic foodstuff that we so need, then the body will eventually weaken so much that it will give up and die. My friend, so it is with the soul. So it is with the spiritual life in the believer. The soul needs the Word of God to be sustained and strengthened. And the Word of God is that spiritual food. Just as the body would weaken and decay and break down and eventually give up altogether, if you don't feed your soul upon the Word of God on a regular basis, you will become spiritually weak. You will not be able to serve as you ought to or once did. And eventually you'll just become, as it were, a heap that is able to do nothing for the Lord. And because the Word of God is food for the soul, Job esteemed it so highly. Isn't that what the Word of God is? The Lord Jesus reminded the devil of that in the wilderness when he was tempted. And the devil told him, make the stones to become bread. You're hungry. You've fasted for so many days. And the Lord was going to receive that anointing power from on high to serve the Lord, and the devil tempted him. Turn the stones into bread. And in Matthew 4:4, the Savior answered, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth. And there's the connection again, from the mouth, the spoken, the divine, the inspired, the God-breathed word. Man shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. And the Lord was underlining. Man is not only a physical being, but he's a spiritual being. And the spiritual feeding is even more important than the physical feeding. That's what the Lord was telling the devil. And he's teaching us through that incident. The feeding of the soul is even more important than the physical feeding of the body. And your food for the soul, it's not Facebook. It's not Twitter. Not the daily newspapers or magazines or the television. Listen, I'm not preaching against them. They have their uses. But I want to tell you, if you're substituting the Word of God for those things, then spiritually you're starving. Food for the soul is the Bible. The Word of God. And it's the Word of God that sustains, that strengthens, and builds up the spiritual life within us. And you know this? The Lord says the Word of God is bread. But if you read the Bible, you discover that the Word of God is described as other things. It's described as milk for the babes in Christ, the young. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. It's described in Hebrews 5:12-14 as strong meat for the mature. It's described in Deuteronomy as bread. There's milk. There's bread, there's meat, no matter what stage you're at in the Christian life. There's something in the Bible for you to feed your soul, to strengthen you in the Lord. And there's an entire meal. You set the milk down, you set the bread and the meat, and you can dine from it all. Do you know the best of the lot? If you're like me and you have a sweet tooth, well, it's also honey. Psalm 119:103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And there's times I just take the honey. Sometimes it's the runny honey, but sometimes it's the more firmer type. You just put the big spoon in and I just take it off the spoon and down it goes and it's sweet to my taste. My, the Word of God, it's not only the milk, and it's not only the bread, and it's not only the meat, but it's the honey. It's sweet. Do you know what that means? It satisfies. I wonder today, is God's Word sweet to you? It's pleasant to taste. It isn't bitter. That, you want to reject it. You know, when you eat something and it's bitter and, and it's hard to get down. Well, that's not what the Word of God should be like to the Christian. The sweet honey just runs down the throat. I could take another spoon off it. Give me more. It's lovely. You know, that's what the Word of God should be like to the Christian. It's sweet to our taste. And because it sustained and strengthened and satisfied and nourished and built up the spiritual life within him, Job said, I esteem it more than my necessary food. That's how we should view the Word of God. There's one final thought if you turn back to Job chapter 23. Not only is the Word of God to be highly esteemed because of its divine origin and its spiritual nourishment, but he highly esteemed it because of its evident demands. Now, the Word of God, I'll show you this from the verses just in a moment. The Word of God is not merely to be read. It's not merely to be admired. It's not merely to be preached and understood. Now, we are to do all of those things. We're to read it. We're to understand it. We are to certainly admire it, and we're to proclaim it. We should do all these things with the Word of God. But it wasn't just given for these things. It was given that we might obey it. And as you read it, it is not only promises of salvation, but it makes demands upon our lives. And can I go a little further and say that the way to show that you highly esteem the Word of God is to obey it? I'm going to repeat that. The way to show that you highly esteem the Word of God is to obey it. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And in Job 23, verse 11 in particular, Job saying that the demands of God's word, he's carefully trying to keep. Not to save his soul, but to please his Savior. My foot hath held his step. And he pictures himself as the one who's walking on a narrow pathway and very carefully choosing his steps. When I read that again this week, I was reminded of the time my wife and I set off to climb Ben Nevis. And we went from the other side of Ben Nevis up what we call Carn Mór Dubh. Between Carn Mór Dubh and Nevis, there's they call an arete. It's a rocky cliff ledge. And on both sides, you just have literally a drop. Now, it's not a straight drop. It's a slope drop. But this rocky path. And as we began to walk over that arete, there was a Dutch couple just a little way in front of us. And for a moment, they went out of our view. And then we heard the rocks falling. And a note of panic and concern set in. And we called out, are you okay? And the answer came back, yes, we're fine. But they had stepped in a certain place and the rocks, they said, all the number of rocks tumbling down the side of that arete or mountain. I can tell you, we carefully watched our step thereafter. And that's what Job is saying. My foot hath held. I'm walking as if on a narrow ledge or pathway, and I'm being very careful where I set my feet to make sure I don't fall. Is that our attitude to God's word? Are we walking carefully in such a way that we're not going to fall into a path of disobedience? Oh, may we take God's word seriously. We live in a day and age when it's no law, no commands. And many profess the name of the Lord and they just want to live as they like and do as they please. And sure, we're saved by grace anyway and we'll get to heaven and there's no demands by God placed upon our life. It sounds like the only kingdom I've ever heard of where there are not laws to govern how the subjects and citizens of the kingdom live I tell you, that's not the gospel, friends. No, the Lord has given us a law not to keep for our salvation, but to observe, live to please Him. And it's revealed in His Word. And may we carefully, like Job, and steadfastly or continually, like Job. For look at the end of verse 11, and with this we'll finish. My foot hath held His steps. His way have I kept and not declined. There was a consistency, a steadfastness. May we, like Job, seek to walk carefully, to keep the demands and the commands and the laws that the Word of God sets forth for us. And may we seek to walk in them continually. The divine origin, the spiritual nourishment, and the evident demands of God our Creator was the reason Job esteemed His Word so highly. May we value His Word in a similar way to the pleasing of our God.